The ground-based robots, what are they? Are they like Osimo, the Japanese robot, or are they like machines?
Imagine anything that science fiction has thought up, and we're creating ones like that in reality. So, for example, the book opens up with a scene involving a PackBot. A PackBot is it's about 42 pounds of robot. It's roughly the size of your lawnmower. It's made by iRobot, not the Isaac Asimov book, not the Will Smith movie, but an actual real-world company based out of Boston. A lot of people may be familiar with iRobot because besides building this military robot, it also builds the Roomba, the little robot vacuum
cleaner. I bought one of those as a gift for someone once.
It's, you know, the backstory to the Roomba is fascinating because the Roomba actually was first designed as a military robot. It wasn't originally designed to suck up dirt on your floor.
Right.
But, you know, the joke is it was designed for fighting wars. It was designed to search out, to clean up unexploded bullets and bomblets on airfields. And then they figured out, well, it's good at this. It figured out how to clean up this airfield. Maybe it could work in a home environment. That's the origin of the Roomba. But so the PackBot, which is the one that they you have thousands of these in Iraq, it's particularly used for counter IED operations. IEDs are those homemade bombs that the insurgents have used that are incredibly deadly. They've killed or injured literally thousands of troops.
Yeah.
And so we started out by around 2006 in Iraq, there were 2,500 of these IED attacks every single month.
Wow.
And so they started equipping the teams, the military bomb squads, with these PackBots. And they would go out on roughly about two missions every day. So every day they were defusing two bombs. And
when you say defusing, were they getting blown up? Is that what was their role, to be almost like a suicide victim itself, these little robots?
Everything. When it works out well, actually, the military, the robot is the one that drives up to a suspected IED, a suspected bomb. You know, often these things are hidden by the roadside.
Yep.
Someone will say, you know, I think it's a bomb. I don't know. I don't want to go near it. And you don't want to send a soldier up to look at it and check it out because that's exactly when they'll blow it up.
What detonates them? Remote control or what?
Well, so the insurgents have been really crafty, and that's the sort of hidden story of this insurgency there, is that there's a technology game going back and forth where we're inventing more and more robotics, but they're also inventing deadlier and deadlier systems. So with the IEDs, originally they were just jury-rigged bombs and, you know, literally a wire coming out of them and a guy at the end of it pressing a button. And then our side figured out, okay, all you have to do is backtrack the wire and you'll be able to figure out where the bad guy is. So they changed them to wireless. We then figured out, okay, we'll develop jammers. And then they figured out using things like infrared detonators.
Somebody's behind this, Peter, to help them out. There's got to be.
Well, you've got, you know, remember this is part of, you know, people that are fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan are linked to a global insurgency. But the other thing, you know, people are crafty. People are smart. And there's a big change going on in war today where it's gone from being weapons developed by massive military structures. You know, it takes tens of thousands of people to build an aircraft carrier.
Yep, yep.
Whereas, you know, to build an IED, it's just a guy back in his yard. To build a robot, do-it-yourself kits, you can build one of these for $1,000. That's military grade.
Jeez.
Yeah, and so that means that you have what I call open source warfare.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about open source software where, you know, anyone can go in like Wikipedia and update it, or Linux or those sort of things. Well, take that over to warfare where, you know, anyone who's got the will and sort of a deadly entrepreneurial spirit, they can figure out how to do something deadly. And so these robots, they'll drive up to the bomb. They have little arms that come out, cameras, etc. And if everything goes right, they can defuse the bomb. But if it doesn't go right, bomb blows up, you don't lose a soldier.
You lose a little robot.
Exactly. And so the soldiers, of course, you know, just as crafty as the insurgency, and the soldiers on our side have been really crafty. So, for example, one of them said, you know, I think there may be an insurgent down this alleyway. We can send down the robot to look at him, but, you know, so what? We can see him. So what they did is they put a Claymore mine on it and drove it down, insurgent there, blew it up. And that was one of the first times that a robot was,
suicide robot.
Yeah, and so that's the suicide side. And another guy said, well, you know, why don't we put a machine gun on it? And that's the origin of a system called the SWORDS. It's basically a weapons and reconnaissance robot.
Jeez.
And it's also, you know, roughly the size of your lawnmower, but it packs, you know, the user's choice of, you can lock in a machine gun onto it or a rocket launcher, a grenade launcher, et cetera. And it's ready to rock and roll.
And send it right into battle. Off it goes.
Yeah. And
to the front it goes, and it never complains.
That's, you know, it doesn't complain. You don't have family that will write their congressman if it's mistreated. It doesn't care whether its buddy gets promoted and it doesn't. There's, you know, it has an unblinking eye. It doesn't get tired. You know, can you keep your eye open for 30 hours? Can you look at an empty desert for 30 hours and not get bored? A robot can. Can you put yourself into sleep mode and stay underwater for a day and then drive up out of it, pop up behind an enemy? A robot can. And so that's where,
jeez,
you know, this is where military guys go, this is some exciting stuff, but we better figure out how to use this.